Well, my brain is still making the adjustment of the 16-hour time zone shift from Japan. I just got back from a very special trip to Japan with my father and my son. It was, of course, special to have three generations on the trip, but it was also special because we were returning to the place where I was born, and where my father served the Korean Christian Church in Japan for 15 years. So along with seeing some wonderful sights and sharing many amazing meals, we were there first and foremost to visit some very, very dear friends. My dad has been back with my mom for various trips over the years, but it was the first time being in Japan for our son Luke, and for me, I was seeing people for the first time in over 40 years. That's a long time. For several months before, I used an app on my phone to practice my Japanese. Even though I used to be entirely fluent at the age of 11, when we left Japan, I had lost a lot of it over the last 46 years. So the practice definitely helped bring back some of it. But the really scary test of my Japanese came when I was invited to preach in Japanese, something I had never done before. It was a great honor to be asked, but also very scary. I needed to use words that my 11-year-old self had never learned. But I recognized that being asked to speak was not only a great honor, but a special opportunity to share with the people of my home church how much they had given me in the first 11 years of my life. Over the years, I've come to realize that their faithfulness, along with my parents, of course, has given me a solid foundation that has been a rich blessing to me and to our family. And the churches that I served as pastor over the past 30 years of ministry also. This foundation helped me experience God's infinite grace. It helped me to know Jesus. And it laid the foundation for a faith that would grow continually and surround me in the grace that allowed me to confess my mistakes, to learn and grow as a person, as a partner, as a father, and as a pastor. The faith that they gave me was absolutely formative and a huge part of my life. And this was my opportunity to share my gratitude and to encourage them as they face some of the same challenges that we do here in Canada. As I reflected on my formative experiences and prepared to return to my hometown, I realize that it is almost the opposite experience to what Jesus experienced when he returned to his hometown of Nazareth. Jesus was just beginning his ministry. He was traveling and sharing the gospel of God's grace and healing. And Jesus was calling people to be faithful in loving one another and serving God's kingdom of love. During his journey, Jesus returned to his hometown of Nazareth. But when the people heard his teaching, they were astonished and began to complain. They know his parents and all his siblings. Who did he think he was with all this wisdom and teaching? It may seem like a strange reaction from people back home. Why weren't they proud of him and more supportive? This teacher and miracle worker was someone who had left town, and now that he's back, Maybe they felt like he was acting as if he was better than them. I don't know. But what is truly amazing is the impact that this reception had on Jesus' power. Of course, he didn't lose all his powers. He was still able to heal some people. However, Mark says that apart from healing a few people, no miracles were performed there like they had been in other places. The lack of support from his own people affected Jesus. Feeling unappreciated or treated unfairly affects all of us, even, as it turns out, Jesus. It prevents us from living the life that God created us for. It is disheartening when our own friends and neighbors do not accept us or criticize us. It can prevent us from fulfilling our calling. Even if we move far away, that feeling of discouragement and self-doubt can follow us. However, the opposite is also true. A strong foundation of love and encouragement follows us as well. A deep awareness of grace, forgiveness, and infinite love strengthens us throughout our lives. That's the wonderful gift that I received from the Korean Christians in Japan with whom I grew up. My beloved siblings in the church there gave me a solid foundation of faith, and it has remained with me as a constant source of strength and blessing in my life. What they gave me as a child was the opposite of what the people of Nazareth gave Jesus when he came back, at least. Let me give you two small examples from my experience of Korean Christians in Japan. As a child, I would occasionally go with my father to early morning prayer meetings that were happening every day. Every morning, people would gather very early, like 5:30 in the morning, to pray together in the church. They prayed with words, they prayed in silence. They prayed with songs, and they prayed with tears. People prayed passionately for their families, for their church community, for their city. They prayed for human rights and the unification of the Korean people. And they prayed for peace and reconciliation in the church and in the world. I honestly have never seen Canadians pray like that. Such passion and honesty and trust. I will never forget it. I have not forgotten it. No matter what I was taught in seminary and many retreats and courses since then, the standard for how to pray with deep faith and sincerity were taught to me by the Christians in the Korean church in Japan. As we heard, Jesus struggled to perform miracles in Nazareth. However, the kind support and encouragement and faith of the Korean church in Japan created its own miracle for me. It kind of was a miracle that I was able to preach in Japanese for the first time ever, even after 46 years since I'd lived there. But the greatest example of what I was given by my time of growing up in Japan is the perseverance and the resilience of the Korean people living in Japan. Koreans, as you may know, were forcibly brought to Japan during its imperial occupation from 1910 to 1945. While some Koreans returned to Korea at the end of the Second World War, many stayed since they had little left to return to. But they have always been treated as second class and denied the basic rights of citizenship in Japan, even though there are five or six generations of Koreans living in Japan. They still don't qualify for citizenship or all the associated rights and responsibilities. And they're subject to numerous social and legal discrimination. They have endured much suffering, hardship, and injustice. But through it all, they have shown tremendous resilience and faithfulness. When our family left Japan in 1978, our closest friends in the church were making a living through their family business of collecting and selling scrap metal. The kids in that family, who I played with as a child, grew up to become, well, three of the four brothers became doctors. And they're there in this picture. The one who is right behind my dad was my best friend, Il-sung, is my best friend, Il-sung. And he's an oncologist in the cancer center in Fukuoka, my home city. And he's got two other brothers, one just up on his left shoulder in the middle there, who's also a doctor, and Sungwon, who's the bald guy on the very back on the right side, who's running a hospital now. Through amazing hardship, that's just one example of how the families have prospered and worked hard and done so amazingly well. And that story was repeated across many different families that we were catching up with when I got back, when I was there. And they continue, as Koreans in Japan, to work for justice, truth, and reconciliation for all who are oppressed. And from their example, I have learned how to be resilient and adaptable, making friends in different cultures and situations. They taught me not to look down on people who don't have very much, to recognize those who work hard and provide for their families in various creative ways, and to generously support their neighbors and faith communities. I learned to see people differently. And they continue to inspire and encourage me today. And so on two opportunities, both in Osaka and in Fukuoka, my hometown, which is pictured here, I had the opportunity to share my gratitude and encouragement with our Korean Christian siblings. Despite his experience in Nazareth, Jesus overcame the lack of support in his hometown. He continued to perform miracles and to teach by word and action and lead people to rediscover their oneness with God. Unlike Jesus, we have the loving encouragement and support of our church community to give us the strength to persevere and remain faithful. But some of us may have experienced in our lives the same kind of thing that Jesus did. Perhaps you have known a lack of support or discouragement from people in your family or hometown, people in your lives. Jesus overcame that, and we can too. I wanted to share this with you all because we don't always realize the powerful impact that we can have on each other's lives as a community of faith. the community that we build together matters. The love and grace and encouragement we give each other, or sometimes fail to give each other, matters. It makes a difference, a huge difference, especially in the lives of our children and youth who are learning and absorbing all the time from watching and listening to us, even when we don't think they are. So friends, let us join together in giving thanks to God for this community of faith, from the communities that we have each come from the ways we have been blessed in our roots. And let us pray that we will persevere and remain faithful in responding to Christ's call. Amen.